لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف Honorable brothers in attendance, viewers of Madani Channel. There are many excellences of reciting Durood Sharif, Salawat and Salam, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our intercessor, our master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man salla alayya fi kitabin. Whoever writes salat upon me in a book, whoever recites Durood Sharif in a book. So he writes any form of Durood Sharif, As-salatu salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, or sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, whatever form of Durood Sharif he writes in a book. لَمْ تَزَلِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ مَا دَامَ اسْمِي فِي ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue seeking forgiveness for this person. Which person? Who recites Salat al-Nabi in a book. They continue seeking forgiveness for him as long as that Durood Sharif remains written within that book. So we should try and make a habit where we probably used to just scribbling here and there. Whenever we got a bit of time in a book, a copy that we have, we should try and recite Durood Sharif. Beautiful writing. You've just heard the blessings of that. That the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will continue to pray for the forgiveness of the one who writes salawat ala al-Nabi in a book. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, let's make some good intentions. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْضَلُ الْعَمَلِ أَنِّيَّةُ الصَّادِقَةِ The greatest amal is having a truthful, sincere intention. Let's make the intention that you will listen attentively. What happens is, when sacred knowledge is being conveyed, Quran and Hadith, Shaitan will try his hardest, the nafs will try its hardest to distract a person. So make an intention, inshallah, you listen carefully, attentively, and you will make the intention to also act upon what you've heard. Because if you're just accumulating knowledge and the goal isn't to act upon it, that Islamically speaking, one has not succeeded. True success lies in doing amal upon what you know. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of actions are those which are done continuously, even if they're considered small. But you continuously do them. So when you gain knowledge, it shouldn't be just to hear that knowledge and thereafter not to act upon it. That shouldn't be the case. Your intention should be that, Ya Allah, I'm listening to this sacred knowledge, this bayan, this speech, this lecture, and I make a firm intention that I will go away and I will also make efforts to act upon it as well, inshallah, azza wa jal. And as you know, what we like for ourselves, we should like for our fellow Muslims. So whatever you remember from the speech, you should try your utmost to spread that knowledge to others as well. Convey that knowledge to other Muslims as well, inshallah. Like this, whenever you do any neki, any good deed, any righteous action, pause for a moment, make some good intentions before that good deed. Inshallah, the deeds will be multiplied in terms of sawab, in terms of reward. Inshallah, in the bayan today, I want to speak about something which perhaps is not normally spoken about. Especially from the minbar. We hear various topics. We hear many topics from the muballighin, from the ulama, from the imams, from the khatib. But today, the bayan, as you know, there are a lot of youngsters who are going to be coming as well. The bayan will be focused around our role as Muslims living in the West. And in particular, we live in the UK, UK-based countries. What's our responsibility whilst living here? Remember, we have a responsibility being Muslims in the UK, being Muslims in the West. And we have to fulfill that responsibility. First of all, before I even get into how we as Muslims should conduct ourselves here in the West, first thing you should know is that this is truly a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we Muslims who are in the West are representing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you know, these countries, Islam didn't exist in the past. Islam came when our forefathers, our elders migrated, they came to these countries. Then they struggled, they established masajid, they practiced their faith, and alhamdulillah, Islam flourished. And now we see Muslims in all parts of the Western world. So this is a big blessing of Allah that He chose us from all of the Muslims in the world to be here. And how is this a blessing? We have a chance every single day when we wake up to represent Islam, to spread Islam, to portray the true teachings of Islam. This is why it's a blessing. Because when you show what Islam truly is and people become inspired by that, and for example, if they accept Islam, subhanAllah, your job is done. The reward will be great from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to what Allah Ta'ala has said regarding us, the final nation. In Surah Baqarah, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, translation, and thus we have made you exalted amongst all nations, that you may be witnesses to the people. We are the final nation. We are a witness upon others. And living in the West, living here in the UK, in Britain, it's our duty to represent Islam wherever we are. Not just in our homes, but wherever we go, in our workplaces, when meeting colleagues, when meeting people in the public, wherever we are, first and foremost, we are Muslims, we are believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same goes for the youngsters. They're not Muslims only when they come to madrasa, but they're not only Muslims when they are at home with their parents. They're Muslims even at school. They're Muslims and they represent Islam at college. They're Muslims even at universities. So this is a big responsibility that we have this blessed label. We are Muslims, alhamdulillah. But then what comes with that is great responsibility. Look at what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding the one who calls towards the deen and then inspires somebody in a hadith which is in Sahih Muslim. Whoever calls to guidance will receive reward like that of those who follow him, without it decreasing from their reward in the slightest. It's a win-win situation. You call someone towards Islam, towards practicing the deen, and they accept through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you're rewarded for that as well. Whenever they do any action, you're rewarded for it. Why? Because you have become a means for them to become practicing or even accepted Islam through you, possibly. So it's a great responsibility. And everyone is responsible. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullukum ra'in." Each person from amongst you is responsible. Every one of you is a shepherd, and each of you is responsible for his flock. So a father is responsible for the children, of course. Child's upbringing, a mother has her duties in terms of the household. A teacher is responsible for their students. And every Muslim is responsible for the image that they portray of Islam to others. Remember, it's no small matter. Our every action is judged. Our every action is analyzed as Muslim. So we have to be very clever. We have to be very wise in our approach. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, Surah Al-Isra, verse 36. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. That indeed, the hearing, the sight, the heart, all of these will be asked about. All of these will be questioned. So, ponder. When a person is lying, when a person is deceiving, when a person is showing bad character, then it's not only him who will suffer the consequences in the Akhirah when he will be asked about these things. The image of Islam that people gain will also suffer. That pure, pristine image of Islam will not be presented to them. They will think Islam is that which is being represented by this so-called Muslim who's lying and cheating and defrauding and stealing. Therefore, it's very, very important that we recognize this. that our every action is being analyzed. Now, living in Britain, we're British Muslims, this is a great opportunity and it's also a test. We've mentioned how this is an opportunity to inspire others regarding our faith. And we've also touched upon how this is a test as well. Because people look at us, whatever we do, they will label that as Islam. If we're representing Islam in a beautiful way, alhamdulillah. If we're misrepresenting our deen, we're doing wrong, then that's giving a wrong image of Islam to others. And as you know, in the West, it's not hidden from anyone that Islamophobia is on the rise. That Islam, this beautiful religion of ours, is being attacked, is being criticized for the wrong reasons. And that's directly because of our actions. The media narrative that is given, that often is against Muslims as well. But do you know what softens hearts? What softens hearts? What changes people's perception and opinion? That's our character. That's our muamala, our transactions with them, our dealings with them, serving others, being merciful to others. In the UK today, approximately 4 million Muslims are contributing to every sector. They have jobs in various fields. We know that. Education sector, business, IT. Thousands of Muslims are serving as doctors, nurses, teachers, saving lives daily. Alhamdulillah. But when we look at the other angle, when we look at the other side, unfortunately there are many Muslims who are misrepresenting Islam and the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. How so? They are defrauding the system. They are cheating, they are lying, bribery. All of this is taking place. And we can't hide this fact. And dishonesty is rampant. So what we need to do is not be part of the problem, but rather be part of the solution. We know that problems exist, but we need to distance ourselves from those problems, from those who deceive others, from those who give a bad light to Islam, who represent Islam in a wrong way. And we need to be those who are flag bearers of Islam, who raise the flag of Islam high and show that Islam is all about helping others, serving others, being honest towards others. Have we not heard so many times before that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even before he announced his prophethood, i'lanun nubuwa, he was known as as-sadiq, the most truthful, the truthful one, and al-amin, the one who is trustworthy. This was our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who proved himself in those 40 years prior to announcing his prophethood. So when people rejected the message, they didn't reject because the Prophet ﷺ was not truthful. They didn't reject because he was not trustworthy. They rejected out of stubbornness. But they had nothing to say regarding the character. No flaw could be ascribed to the blessed character of the Prophet ﷺ. But we fast forward 1400 plus years. We have many defects, we have many flaws. It's very likely that people don't accept what we say to them because of our flaws, because we're not truthful, because we don't fulfill promises, because we're not trustworthy. These are massive problems that we have to rectify. Just think to yourself for a moment that when you go to the workplace, how many of your colleagues would vouch for you and say you're a truthful person? How many of your colleagues would say regarding you that you have very good character? How many of your colleagues will say to you, regarding you, you're a very honest person? And we can't lie to ourselves. Similarly, neighbors, everyone has neighbors. Do my neighbors feel safe because of me? Are my neighbors safe to live next door to me? If someone were to ask a character reference from them regarding me, what would my neighbors say? These are questions that we should think about and try and answer ourselves daily. Similarly, what about my manager? What about the teachers? Do they see reliability in me? So, you might think this is extra stuff. This is not extra. You might think Islam is only namaz, Islam is only zakat, Islam is only fasting, performing hajj, etc. No, Islam is much more than that. Islam is how you deal with people every single day of your life. These things are for Allah, your namaz, your zakat, your hajj. What about your muamala with people? How you speak to them? How you approach them? How you come across to them? This is what will count on the Day of Judgment as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the extent of saying in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the best amongst you are those who have the best character. There are so many accounts that are coming into my mind, but I want to continue with the bayan. There was an account of one of our pious predecessors rahimahullah ta'ala, who was being abused by his neighbor, his non-Muslim neighbor. And the non-Muslim neighbor ensured that the gutter, the dirt from the gutter, was going into the Muslim's house. And he remained patient. And people said, why are you patient? Why don't you retaliate? And he said, look, if I'm patient, it's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the awliya Allah, the sulaha, their thinking is beyond our thinking. They want to show people that as Muslims, we can tolerate loads of things. We're not people who are reactive. The slightest bit of something going wrong, we'll react. No. We are patient people. We are tolerant people. And what was the blessings of that? That non-Muslim neighbor who tried his hardest to irritate his Muslim neighbor, in the end gave up and he realized that this person is not replying because of his Iman and his Islam and his faith. And eventually, he himself embraced Islam and entered the folds of Islam. This is the character that we should be showing today as well. But we're not showing that. People get into road rage, people get into fights over petty things, small things, trivial things. They let their anger get the best of them. And we're not representing Islam, we're not doing no favors for our blessed deen when we react like that. Islam teaches us to be law-abiding citizens, wherever we are. Whether we live here, whether we live on the other side of the world, the laws of the land, as long as they don't categorically go against our faith, we abide by them to the extent that we can. And this brings me on to how people, for mere worldly wealth, they cheat and try to bribe the system. They lie on forms. They think they got away with it. They did something very clever. In fact, people will even say to you, and they'll offer you and they'll say, we know how to get certain benefits. We know how to, there's a loophole here, there's this here, there's that here. Al-Aman wal-Hafiz. Remember, any forms that you sign, any thing that you may have gained and you think you've benefited from, but it was in an illicit way, an illegal way, on the Day of Judgment, all those forms will be presented before a person. And you signed here. You gave false information here. The hadith is that Allah Ta'ala loves a strong Muslim over a weak one. And we have become an ummah now that we don't want to make any effort. We don't want to strive. We don't want to endeavor. We're lazy. And this has to change. Especially if that laziness leads to people committing fraud. People, giving bribes to others. People trying to cheat the system. How are we representing our deen when we're doing these things? So Muslims are those who think about the Akhirah and know that on the Day of Judgment, 100%, there is no doubt in this, that we will be asked where we earned our money from. So when we know this, why will we do these things, these lowly things that cannot be ascribed to a true believer? Unfortunately, people are doing it today. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever cheats is not from us. The Prophet ﷺ distanced such a person. Whoever deceives, whoever does these things has nothing to do with us. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. Such a massive warning. Yet people are doing this day and night. People are trying to help others cheat the system. Na'udhu billah. So, we have to be very careful. As I mentioned, we are under the spotlight many times for the wrong reasons. And it shouldn't be the case. We are followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and everything is sacrificed for our deen and our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't give tarjih, priority to the dunya at all, over our deen, over our beloved master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Especially the youth who are affected today. Why? Because all they see on social media is materialism. This person's driving this car and this person's living a lavish life. He has a luxury life. He has a house in this area, and mentally they're affected. And then they try to achieve that by any means possible as well. But remember, as Muslims, our role models are not those people we see on social media, these so-called celebrities. These celebrities who seemingly have it all, and then they end up committing suicide. What kind of role models are they? Our role model is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we must follow the character of the Prophet alayhi salam, not celebrities. not influences. No, they will not help us in the least in the Akhirah. Also, we shouldn't chase trends. You know, people, the amount of children who put pressure on their parents, I want to buy this and I want to buy that, so-and-so has it, I want it. And they don't even realize how much struggle their parents go through to make ends meet, to pay the bills, to cover the household costs, to put food on the table. But no, mom, dad, I want this. And they're adamant, they will insist. And then the parents go out of their way to try and buy them that, sometimes even resorting to unlawful means. So children need to understand as well, the youth need to understand as well, that look, these trends are here today, gone tomorrow. They're always changing, these fashions. What will never change is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we must cling to that. And instead of chasing trends, we should chase our place in Jannah and work towards that. Also, this gang culture, which again is being promoted on social media, glamorized. People look at that. They see these so-called gangsters in flashy cars, wearing jewelry. Jewelry is haram for males, meaning wearing chains and bracelets and things like that. But they see these things and they aspire towards it. So we have to be very careful. We have to help one another. And this generation gap that has occurred, we need to ensure that that doesn't cause any more loss and suffering. We need to be close to our children. We need to understand them. We need to become their friends. We need to spend time with them. Some parents don't spend any time with their children. Before they know it, their child's grown up. So there's so many challenges that we're facing. And remember, what is the bayan about? The bayan is about us as Muslims living in the West, living in Britain, living in the UK. We're representing. And you're not only a Muslim in the house of Allah, you're a Muslim every single place that you go. Also, I did touch upon this before, that we consider only acts of worship as part of Islam. We say giving charity is only Islam, or performing your namaz is only Islam. No, Islam extends beyond that. Smiling at your fellow Muslim is Islam. Finding out about someone's difficulty and trying to relieve it is also Islam. Do you know the Khulafa, the likes of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala, despite being the Khalifa of the time, they would go at night and they would go around the streets of Medina, they would try and find people who were in difficulty and help them. This was their sense of responsibility that they had in their hearts and minds. And today it's like we're living a lawless life with no sense of responsibility. So living in the West, it's a blessed opportunity for us to represent our faith in the best manner possible. Imagine if everyone listened to their bayan, this bayan, and decided to change themselves, decided to become better Muslims, decided to become those who reflect the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They smiled at others. Whenever they go anywhere, they're the first to open the door for someone. They're not rude. They're not aggressive towards others. They're gentle and polite towards others. How much of an effect that would that have on our fellow citizens here? People who are from other backgrounds, people who are not Muslims. It would have a massive effect. They'd realize that this is Islam, not what so-and-so is saying. They will say that I have interacted with Muslims. Muslims are the best of all people. So this is our deen. This is the responsibility that we have. We know that the world is watching us and we're under the microscope. We're being assessed, we're being analyzed. Many a times the wrong impression is given. We have to change that. Remember, we want societies to change, but the key thing is afraad, members of that society, have to start changing one by one. And then you will see that chain reaction. Then you will see how more and more people change for the better. We can't just wake up one morning and desire for everything to change. It starts from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq. And we must try and make things easy for others as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that yassiru wa la tu'assiru. Make things easy, do not make things difficult. Give glad tidings and do not push people away. This is another thing. Through our character, through our ill character at times, people go away from us. People distance themselves. People don't want to know us. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was he like? Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that any person who came into his blessed gathering, his blessed presence, felt that the Prophet alaihi wasallam loves them the most. I mean, this was how the Prophet alaihi wasallam treated people. This is how he conducted himself with people. This is how he won their hearts over, that anyone who was in his blessed presence felt that love, felt that mahabba. Can we say the same regarding ourselves? Can we say the same when people approach us? Do people even approach us? Or are we on that list of people who are not to be approached at all because of our harshness, because of our ill manners? So Allah Ta'ala bless us all living in the West. We have been here, our forefathers came, the next generation are also here. And who knows how long this will continue? Allah knows best. But as long as we are here, we must represent our deen, and we must never become a cause of concern for others and a cause of misrepresenting Islam to others. Islam is the final religion, the most beautiful religion. And this is the religion given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the lawgiver, through His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are the best ummah, and we have to prove that we are the best ummah as well. May Allah ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to remember what was mentioned in this bayan, me first and foremost, and all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live this bayan, to represent Islam in the most best manner, so that people come close towards the deen of Islam. People remove this negative image that they have of Islam, and they become close to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Bijahi Nabiyyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Glorious in every corner of the world, for the sake of